Am I on? Be I on, my lovers? Yes. Okay. I'm from the West Country, but we live in Garstang, which is biddy land up the road, if you know where I mean. Been there 20 years, but my accent doesn't change. You find that? That might have been a yes or a no, I don't know. You're very welcome to respond. Very much so. Pocahontas has gone to get me some water. I think he's better known as Pocahontas than Indiana, don't you? Well, we're doing well today, aren't we? Hey? Would you like a real... No, you better not have a real joke, I suppose. I was just thinking as I met again some Scousers from McGull. There they are, looking at me. Last week, I met Rob and Ann Snowden. Maybe you don't know them, but they were with John and Rose Mitchell. Some of you know them in Bradford. The thing is, they're blue. And today, it's red against red, isn't it? And, oh, there he is. If I mention Everton now, he might fall over. What? Thank you. What? He said what? So, however long we go on for, the thing is, get it recorded. It's a bit late now, isn't it? A bit late. And I remember years ago, maybe in the 1980s, probably was, I was just speaking to those two up there. They weren't even born when I came up to McGough first. This is terrible, isn't it? And I remember this weekend, and we went off somewhere to some funny place with funny uts. Do you remember? What was it? Branston. Branston. I called it Branston, yeah. And they had a game of football, these guys. I don't know whether there were some ladies. But it got really rough. Because half of them were Everton and half of them were Liverpool. I mean, the fanaticism is disgraceful, isn't it? I mean, in Bristol, where I come from, it's Bristol City and Bristol Rovers. Well, that's enough said. No one's ever heard of them, let alone anything else. But there we go. I wonder whether you saw the eclipse on Friday. Anybody? Yeah. I just sort of caught a glimpse as I was looking out the car window. It was sort of shaded and there was clouds. But it was even then phenomenal, wasn't it? Yeah, I got 4 or 5 pages on it, but we'll leave all that for another time. I have. Yeah. Except there were so many important things happened last Friday. You know, with the moon and the spring equinox, and it was a super moon, wasn't it? Just say yes, and various other things. And of course, you know it's the Jewish year of Shemitah, don't you? Yes, you're right. And the last day of?
International Day of Happiness, apparently.
International Day of Happiness. Ooh, well, that's it then. And it was the first day of Nisan, I'm sure you know this, which is the biblical year. First day of the biblical year on Friday. Few other things. What does it all mean? I don't know. But it is very intriguing if you take into consideration the way in which the moons, the solar moons and the blood, so the solar eclipses and the blood moons have been around last year and will be around in a week or two and again in September. Quite significant. So if you're interested, just Google anything like that. You'll get the lot. It's really intriguing. Well, I'm going to look at something that to me is very interesting with regard to hope. Should we talk about hope and faith? All right, then. First of all, I've got this quote here. This is the quote, wrap up your prayers in expectation. Because I get the feeling that so many of us get undermined by the world view of hope. Because the world view is really, oh, I hope so. You know, and there's sort of doubt and uncertainty. As we'll see later, the biblical view is something else. It's something quite strong and positive. But we seem to be, you know, it's almost like the Spanish Civil War, isn't it? You can say yes. So there's this city that was surrounded by these four armies, and they couldn't overcome. They couldn't. They were under siege for a long time, but they couldn't get the victory. So what they did, they sent another group of people somehow into the city to undermine the city from inside. So if there were four groups of armies outside, this was the fifth
column.
That's where it comes from. And it seems to me that the enemy wants to undermine us regarding the issue of hope. Because if that's undermined, faith is going to be affected. Because hope is the substance, the foundation of things, isn't it? Sorry, I misquoted that, didn't I? What is it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. And I feel like in these days that there's so much doubt and uncertainty. And in the ordinary language that we have, it's almost like this: I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope it does. And it becomes wishful thinking. It brings uncertainty. It's almost like you're at the bus stop. Oh, I hope the bus comes. Well, what hope have you got? You know, half an hour later, three come at once. But it's almost like that. I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. A wish. Really unsure optimism. Feeling like something might happen. But if we have promises of God and somehow they get infiltrated by that kind of thought, it's going to be difficult to see faith released in a miraculous way, isn't it? Yes, you all said. You see, it's this kind of hope that brings no hope. It'll bring despair because it's empty. It'll bring disappointment. And when I finish up in about, how long do you want? Whatever time. Half past one. Oh, kickoff's half past one. There you are. There you are. I knew it. Dave Indiana Much. It sounds nice, doesn't it? Really does. Brilliant, mate. Put me right off now. That's okay. It brings disappointment. And we're called to hope. But biblical hope. Not a case of despair. And yet I know, because of our own lives, Chris and mine, sometimes disappointment can grip you to a place where you sort of lose something and we don't actually see the promises of God fulfilled. Some of you, if you're anything like me, you've probably got lots of words that God has spoken to you, prophecies and all that kind of thing. I've got them in a file. I've even got tapes and CDs, you know. And there's loads of promises. But I want to see them realized, don't you? And some of us are getting a bit old, aren't we? Well, it's all relative. I've got a birthday. Oh, it's next Sunday, 28th next Sunday. Yeah, it's my first birthday this year. I get two, don't you? It's my born again birthday. And I'm 50. Isn't that nice? I became a Christian when I was one. So you don't believe me, do you? But it's my jubilee. So I'm intrigued by that. But I wonder whether it is time for us to look at this, perceive something, grasp hold of this hope, because who has the answer for the hopeless world? Hello. There's no plan B. I mean, looking at us lot and you looking at me, you'd obviously say, good grief, Charlie Brown, you're in big trouble. But I don't mind that, because what God does, he sees us in our weaknesses and he brings us strength. His strength is made complete and perfect in our weakness, which is great, isn't it? And who'd think we'd go and shake the world? I mean, what a bunch of people in the New Testament that shook the world, that turned the world upside down. But I want to hope, don't you? I really do. Chris and I are involved in quite a tragic death in the last week. Son of our friends in Preston died. And you see, the thing is, when the funeral comes on Friday coming, we're not going to grieve as those who have no hope. There's something that I can't get away from deep inside, I know. How do you know? Well, I know that I know. You may philosophize me away. You may, you know, have great arguments. You may get the spirit of Dawkins on you and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, you can't rip out the fact that I know. Yeah. And anyway, death is just but a doorway, isn't it? Mm. It's probably how we get there is the issue. But we go through into the presence of God in a most amazing way. By the way, the presence of God is here now. Amen. It's true, isn't it? So, hope is not a belief in the possible expectation of desire. That's not based on the promise of God. But hope is based on confidence in the promises of God. When I wrote all this out sometime, I thought I'd count the times the word promise, the times that I'd written it. I got 28 times in here. It's about 5,000 words, mind. But you won't get all those. But there's something about God's promise which is great, isn't it? And somehow I want to connect into that in a very, very clear way. Sometimes the word hope is linked to so. You know, oh, I hope so. And even that, you know, the body language, oh, and the attitude and the word, oh, I hope so. We're not going to get very far, you know. I used to hope for Bristol City. This is a bad example. But they went down four divisions every year, you know. They're coming back up. But anyway, moving on really quickly, really quickly. I want to live with certainty, not with probability. And I'm going to lead you at the end of this to a point where we'll look at disappointment. Do you fancy looking at disappointment? All right, then. That's hope, isn't it? The Christian view of hope is something else. It is confidence. It is expectation. It is anticipation. It's the reality of knowing God's word within us, deep in our spirits. It's to do with God's promise to you. And I want to move in that with expectation, don't we? They're in the wrong place. It's so, so important to trust even those that hope in the Lord or those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as chickens. No, turkeys. No, there's too many Christian chickens in turkeys. The only place for a turkey is a preparation at the end of the year to be put on a plate. That's not for me. I want to be, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. We're called to be like eagles with vision and purpose and strength and sight. I don't want to grub around for a few old seeds on the ground, do you? No, you said. So important, isn't it? It's expectation, eager anticipation, eager expectation. But somehow doubt and uncertainty comes in like this fifth column and would undermine us. I was listening to something coming in the car, and this person was talking about Moses, who God had said, you need to go into Egypt. Remember, it was the burning bush. You remember that, don't you? I mean, it's a great story. Fancy a voice speaking out of a burning bush, you know. It's so amazing. Moses. Imagine that, you know. You'd run like I'd run, that's for sure, you know. I've never known anything like it. A bit of old scrubby bush. It does remind me of the church, actually. Not scrubby bush so much, but the voice of God speaking out of us, you know. I want to do this, this, and this. And Moses said, in my translation, what? I can't. And he says, well, who am I? So he undermines his own identity. Not much hope there, really. And God answers him and says, well, he took no notice of him, basically. He says, I am who I am. In other words, God announced, pronounced, declared his identity. And he was adding into something of Moses. And Moses then puts all these reasons and excuses why he can't go to Egypt. Well, what happened? He ends up going. Because God had called him. Hello, church. He's calling us. He's calling us. I am that I am. I am who I am. And you might say, well, who am I? Well, get that identity right in your relationship with Jesus. And then we can go forward with an eager sense of anticipation and confidence. I keep doing that and I keep hurting my hand. Oh, dear Lord. It's so important. A few weeks back, Angela Merkel and Hollande, you know, him. Good grief. These French prime ministers, so unbelievable. They went to see, I say, Putin. And God spoke into my heart through the BBC news. Can you imagine? Through the BBC? I mean, it's just crazy. So there they were. It's on the commentator, the presenter was saying they're going to see Putin. And this is what he said. He said they went in hope rather than expectation. I said to Chris, flip me. I'm having that. It's expectation. It's not, oh, they went in hope. Oh, uncertainty and doubt. What happened? Well, Putin just wrapped them round his little finger, like my granddaughter would like to do sometime. You know what I mean? He does. Yeah. You're all right. She said she already does. Man after my own heart. They went in hope and not in expectation. And I think in these days, listen, like you, I've read the end of the book. What happens? We actually get there. There's victory. I know it's getting there, but we've got this hope. We look for the blessed hope that Jesus coming back to transform this earth. I do believe that, don't you?
Yep.
Years ago, when there were no seats in the football grounds, I was in a crowd of about 40,000 in Bristol. And we were in this block of probably 10 or 12,000 people. And I was in the wrong end, really. It wasn't the opposition, but they sang songs that I couldn't repeat. The trouble is you get caught up with it, don't you? I tell you, it was noise. It was like synergy. It sort of exploded out into maybe 10 or 20,000. It was just amazing. One day, church, when we really do see him, we're going to explode in a synergy. Forget the songs. It'll be the songs to the Lamb of God. So I want to get excited, don't you? Is it these seats that make us dopey and drowsy? No, of course not, no. But I feel like he's coming back. This is the hope we have, isn't it? Yeah. I won't even talk about Man U. Forget all that sort of thing. But let's go into another level, shall we? Expectation. They went in hope rather than, and they got what they deserved, I would say, with respect to them. But we need to redeem hope. So what am I saying? Understand the promise that God has given. Confidence in the giver of the promise. Confidence in the promise itself to you. Then we go into eager expectation and eager anticipation. And what happens? In that ground of hope, faith begins to grow. So the issue isn't faith, it's hope. Maybe we need a word with ourselves about that, don't we? Yes, you said. Romans 15:13. Are we doing all right? Yeah. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace in believing so that you may abound. Abound in hope. I like that word. Oh, abound. It means to overflow. Oh, overflow. Or as the message says this. Oh, the message starts with this. Oh, may the God of hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives filled with life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit will brim over. Do you want to brim over? Abound, brim over with life. Yeah. You know, I sometimes sing in Sainsbury's, you know, quietly, or hum, or whistle. I get funny looks. I don't speak in tongues much, but I just want, there's something about joy that we need to exude, isn't there? There's something about the hope. We need, we have a reason for the hope that is in us. It's Him. It's Jesus, isn't it? You see, this God of hope, He gives promises. He fulfills promises. He's not only the source of hope, He is hope. Our God is hope.
Amen.
And sometimes I feel like a dope rhyme. Did you get that? I just made that up. Never mind. I do. He's so full of hope, filled full for us to be fulfilled. Filled full to be fulfilled. About right. Time, isn't it, to overbound or to brim. Do you like that? Brim. Please remember it. This hope we have, as Hebrews 6 says, as an anchor for our souls, sure and steadfast. And then we can come into the presence behind the veil. The thing about ships or boats, they're not made to stick in harbors, are they? They're made to go out into the seas, where it's a little dangerous. Be all right if we lived in here forever, wouldn't it? No, it wouldn't. We'd all get fed up with each other in about 10 minutes. Somehow we're out there with a little bit of danger. Is it all right? No, but it's fantastically inspiring, isn't it, and fulfilling.
Yeah.
It really, really is. We have a reason. You know, even the prophets in the Old Testament were agents of hope. I mean, they predicted so much disaster, didn't they? Predicted a lot about Syria and Damascus, actually. But after every disastrous prediction, they declared hope. I like that, don't you?
Yeah.
There was a real message of hope. And here's this guy who was sat. So I think this was the first book written in the Bible, the book of
Job.
There he is. He's got a few boils. Have you had boils? I've had boils. I had one on my chin that came out like Bruce Forsyth. I did. I was right out there. And I had one somewhere else round the back. And if my wife was here now, I'd get a look, you know. It was, never mind. Yeah. But he had, Job had them all over his body. Great big fat suppurating different, do you want me to carry on? Boils. And he was on this sort of slag heap of stuff. And he got this slate and he began to scrape them off, Dave. Ugh. And he was scraping them off. I mean, it was hopeless. It was disaster. He'd lost everything. And in the midst of that, this bolt of lightning from God, woof, touched him. And suddenly, he begins to give Handel the thoughts of a song. Have I gone too... Was it Handel? For I know that my... It was Handel, wasn't it? Yeah. I know. I mean, there he is with all this suppurating mess. Nothing. Everything gone. Taken. Family. Everything. And he sat there scraping away when suddenly hope is restored. I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on the earth. Well, he's suddenly jumping into prophecy, isn't he? Even if my skin is destroyed, that's a little bit gross. This I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. He had a revelation of hope. Oh, God, do something. Even if you've got to shake us and bake us and slice us and dice us, touch our hearts. Just redeem hope within us so that we can move with anticipation and expectation and see faith grow and be fruitful day by day. Wouldn't it be brilliant? It would. A revelation of hope. Certainty. Do you know, he was talking about incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, consummation, meaning at the end of time, Jesus will appear, and personal resurrection in my flesh. That's the whole theology of Scripture there. It's amazing, isn't it? Yes, you said, it is, it is, it is. Page 5. It is crucial that we look at this, because hope and faith are so important for one another. And if we've unintentionally neglected, if we've been sort of duped by this, I think it's time for us to look at it, because I don't want hope devalued in any way in my life. Do you? No. No. I don't. I'll read Romans 8, shall I? All right then, from the Message, 23. He says this, these sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. It's all about hope. And he goes into an illustration about the pregnant mother. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. He says, we're enlarged. You can all do that, men. We're enlarged by our waiting. The expectation. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Our youngest daughter's pregnant for the second time. We have a first granddaughter. Well, she's the second, but recently, a year ago, she was born. Her name's Joy. Joyful expectancy. This next one, who knows? I tell you, she is a joy. She really is. She's a pickle and all, you know. So Zoe was telling her off very nicely. Zoe said to her, she's 22 months. That's over a year, isn't it? Yeah. She said, why are you doing that? What's going on? She said, just because. You know about that, don't you? Just because. Where'd they get it from? Not from me. No. Oh dear, we try not to laugh. I see you understand. The influence of hope is the atmosphere that faith grows in. This is what we build on when we perceive. So faith grows in the soil of hope. Wonderful. There was a problem. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah, 90. You look a bit younger. And they had a promise from God, which they had years ago. And God kept on confirming it, kept on reminding them that it was going to be a son, a promise of a son. A promise of a son. But the thing is, they were getting older and older and older until it was too late naturally to produce a child. And they knew they were going to have a son, but something happened, and Abraham, within his heart, the power of God came, and faith suddenly exploded out of hope. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I won't read it all. Translations of Romans 4:18. When there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. In spite of hopeless circumstances. Any hopeless circumstances here? It's not probably, there are. If there's none with you, there is with me. He kept on believing. When there was nothing left to hope for, he still hoped. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Utterly hopeless circumstances. He hopefully believed. Amen. Human reason said to him, hope is gone. But he hoped with faith. In other words, it says, against hope he believed. That's called an oxymoron, isn't it? Which is a conjoined contradiction in a sentence, like deafening silence, like dark light, like us living dead. I'm being polite. An open secret, or like some of you, organized mess. I'm looking at the ceiling, particularly, never mind. This is how it was. But he hoped against hope. And internally, hope was so strong within him, there was no grounds for anything else. He cherished hope. He prized hope. He esteemed hope against all probability. He had expectation even when things were impossible. Good grief. So his faith was contrary to that sort of hopelessness, because it was impossible, because naturally there was no hope. But he grasped hold of that and trusted the promise of God. Why? Because our God does impossible things. Amen. He's the God of the impossible. Amen. With things, some things are possible. No. Some? No. All. Now let me read from the Message. This is so funny. What to me, it's a very nice word. Romans 4:19. Abraham didn't focus on his impotence and says it's hopeless. He didn't say this 100-year-old body could never father a child. So imagine him looking in the mirror and thinking, flipping heck, you know. I'd sort of think he'd say to himself, with respect, I'm putting this in brackets, don't tell Chris, these swimmers ain't going to get very far, basically. There's no strength in them. We're done for. Nor, this is the Message, that was my little bit in there. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He sort of looked at her and said, oh, my life, that baby has, too late, too bad, gone. But it says here, it says, he didn't tiptoe around the promise of God. Don't you like that? Sometimes I think we tiptoe, don't you, around the... It says here, it says, he plunged into the promise of God. Brim. Plunge. Plunge. Don't forget it. Sometimes we sort of tiptoe. We need to go right in, don't we? We need to jump in saying, blow it, or whatever you want to say. I'm going for God. No tiptoe. He plunged, it says, into the promise of God and came up strong. Don't you like that? Ready for God. Sure that God would make good. Now, in the King James, it sort of says this. He did not waver at the promise of God. It's like a graph, isn't it? It wasn't just constant. It wasn't low. The graph, that line grew. It's impossible. But he had something. He was strengthened in his faith, gave glory to God, and it says he was fully convinced about what God has promised. Sometimes we're not like that. Oh, I hope so. Maybe we should draw a line in a minute, shall we? I know what you mean. Yeah. Oh, I like it here. He was fully convinced that what God has promised, he was able to perform. I've got a two-word comment on this. Good grief. Or flipping heck. I don't know. I just love it, don't you? What should have finished him off had the opposite effect. He became Superman. He recovered his bodily vigor. I'll leave that for you to think about. James, the book of James says, faith without, no, works is dead. So they needed a joining. You know what I mean. So it's amazing because he was expectant and he anticipated life. No wonder they called their son not Indiana, but I nearly said Pocahontas, but no, Isaac, Ishak, which means laughter. Ha! I mean, it's laughable. It's ridiculous. Especially when she was earwigging outside the tent, do you remember? Yeah. And the angels and Abes were inside, and he said to Abes, he said, he's a bit West Country, this angel. He said, here, next year you'll have a son. And she's outside listening and went, ah! Didn't she? She laughed. You know what it says in my version. They got her in. They caught her. They said to her, you were laughing. She says, oh, no, I wasn't. And they said, yes, so we were. It's true, it's in there. It's hilarious, really. But they were right. It's a bit pesky sometimes, isn't it? When it's like we're pushing God and he waits and he blooming waits and waits, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? Until it's impossible. You know about that, don't you? This is resurrection. You see, Abraham was asked to believe that which went beyond the impression of hope. He rested on the promise, trusted with anticipation. It wasn't, where's the bus? It's never going to come. Oh, I hope so, you know. Oh, it's like my mother, Sybil, used to say, it'll all work out for the best. Actually, it will. She was prophesying without knowing it, really. But in her, there was an uncertainty, you know, a bit of doubt. Time to get rid of that, isn't it? We say to doubt, come out, don't we? So here we are, right at the last bit. There's this interesting scripture in Proverbs. So I'm going to give you the second. What are you laughing at, you two? Is she being naughty? She is, isn't she? If I say fulfillment is a tree of life, what's the first line, first bit? What's the first bit?
Hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
One of my favourite proverbs.
You like that? I love his accent. Hope deferred makes the heart. Better than mine. Mine's heart. I'd rather have yours. It's true. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing fulfilled brings fruitfulness. So what hope deferred does, it sort of undermines, and I went the wrong way. I nearly ended up in Bursko from the motorway, but I went left and up, and the soil around here is rich, dark, rich soil. It's beautiful, isn't it? It is. It's a great market garden, Ormskirk, isn't it? And all the Liverpudlians snaffle all the food, don't they? You know, that's what they do. But I just want us to come back where we can cultivate the soil in our hearts, which is rich and full of life and fertile and expectant, rather than seeing it undermined by, well, I hope so. The doubt, the enemy whispers in, are you sure? Which is what he did in the beginning, isn't it? Eh? Sometimes we need to say, buy one, get one free to him, don't we? There's an acrostic in there, isn't there? Yeah. Yeah, think about it. Hope deferred. It's really, it's disappointment of a raised expectation. It's a delay. And you think, what's happened? I got all these promises. Lord, what's happened? Someone has said this, sometimes I'm afraid to believe because disappointment hurts. Sick heart, heartache, emotional pain. Our life, our walk with God is affected. So what we do, we don't promise ourselves anything anymore. We don't believe the promises we get because we know if we do and if we feed ourselves with hope, it won't happen. So I don't prepare for disappointment anymore. I just live in it. I'm quoting me. I'm not living in it, but you know what I mean. Yeah. So we stay there. We say, no, I'm not going to do it. And there's God. Come on. And we hesitate. And then we do a quick one or two inner vow, don't we? I'll never. Never say never. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Those that live by it, what? Life or death, will eat its fruit. And yet this tree of life means strength, refreshment, fullness, richness, abundance, vibrancy, health, vitality. I can do that much better now. It's really good. It was to do with this, but anyway, never mind. Hope tomorrow, says someone, is a wonderful thing, but when tomorrow comes and the next day and the next day and our hopes never seem any closer to fruition, can you sign all that? I'm going too quickly. There comes a point when we no longer have good expectations for tomorrow. I want great expectations, don't you, for tomorrow?
Yeah.
I want to expect that Monday won't be a rainy day in Monday, do you? I really do. Well, wake up tomorrow morning and say, glory to God. But let's do it in reality, shall we? Reality. Because we have an expectancy, an anticipation. that God is going to do something. Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint. Good old Job, I'm coming back to him and then I'll finish, shall I? Yes, you said. For a tree, there's always hope. Chop it down, still has a chance. Why? Even though its roots are old and gnarled and its stump long dormant, at the first scent of water, at the first whiff of water, even though it looks dead, green shoots begin to sprout. There's something about brim and plunge. There's something about jumping in, isn't there? That life comes, buds grow, the tree receives life. The apparently dead tree revives. Oh God, do some revival. You know what one of the definitions of revival is, don't you? It's raising the dead. I'm not looking at anybody or anything. But I want to pray. Can I pray? Okay. I wonder whether we should draw a line. You up for drawing a line? And going for broke? If you are, maybe I could get you to stand and I'm going to pray. And just together we'll draw a line. He's good. Come on. Let him stand. Let him stand. Come on. Yeah. No, it's brilliant. That was a really bad low-budget appeal, wasn't it? But what we're going to do, I'm going to pray and we're going to draw a line with reality and say, I'm going to begin to change my mindset, my belief system. I'm not going to let the fifth column come in. I'm not going to do it. Hope deferred, delayed, disappointment. It's time to push that away. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But we have some strength in God. So Lord, I just bless you for who you are. And I pray in Jesus' name that just as a little response like this, you'll see our hearts, Lord. And in that, I'm so lovely in the, is it he or is she? She, great. That's the dog. Yeah, beautiful. We draw a line and say, Lord, I don't want to look back at hope deferred. I want to look forward to fulfillment is a tree of life. One of his favorite scriptures. Let's take that on. Proverbs 13:12. Fulfillment. Amen. And Lord, the years of disappointment and pressure, Lord, we don't want to be unreal and think they'll all go away like a puff of smoke. But Lord, I'm determined to set my face to look forward to fulfillment is a tree of life. So in that, Lord, I just speak into some of these dear people's spirits. And Lord, I want to call to life that which is almost in some of you like withered and died. It's like often is a crushing. Because it hasn't happened. And you've said, what's the point? I'm giving up. But we're here. Amen. You may have said, never. Touch our hearts, Lord. So I want to call to life that which is withered within you. That which is died. And bring resurrection again to that area in your spirit called communing. That you'll commune with your God in a lovely way of son and daughter to Heavenly Father, that you'll receive again intuitiveness, that sense whereby you can hear God and communicate his life and his word to those around you. Do it, Lord. And that sense of worship, that we draw a line and say, Lord, let life come again. Lord, we're made to worship you and enjoy you. And I pray that revival might come, that resurrection life might come into our hearts, so that we begin to move into that second part, that fulfillment becomes a tree of life. Amen. Lord, set them up this week. Nicely, of course. We just bless each other, don't we? You bless each other. You bless whoever's next to you. I bless you. You bless me. And we're going to go for it. With reality. Let's be honest and clear. And see that as the ground, as the soil is prepared, faith becomes substantial out of that which we hope for again. Yeah? Amen. 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 Cheerio. Cake? Did you say cake?